Okay, here's the deal, guys. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, but what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to have an introduction to this book, and I'll explain to you later why, or I think it'll be kind of self-explanatory why later. And I'm going to just read the first verse out of chapter 1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all of Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite to a bunch of these names. What's up between Paran, some of you got that, Laban, and these other places. And one day I'm going to be with the Lord, and you know what? I'm going to be able to pronounce these names very well, and then I'm going to say, ha-ha to you. No, I'm kidding. So let's look at this intro. Okay, let's look at the intro. But what I want us to do, as I'm going to share with you the outline the Lord gave me for this book, it's going to be a little different. It's not necessarily going to be a textbook type of outline, and you're going to see why later. If you have a study Bible, look at your textbook outline here. A review of Israel's history, chapter 1, verse 6 through 4:43, and then there's all these subtitles. It's real bland, and it's very black and white, all right? What we're going to do in the type of outline we're going to have is a heart type of outline seen through the eyes of the author of the book, Moses, via the Lord. And we will see why we'll use this type of outline here in just a bit. The theme of Deuteronomy, as we're going to see, is getting ready to claim the inheritance, getting prepared for what lies ahead. Now, here's the outline, the breakdown. Chapters 1 through 5 is looking back and remembering God's blessings. God led them, God came to them, and God taught them. Chapter 6 through 11 is responding to God's goodness, loving God and obeying God, showing thankfulness and fearing Him. Chapters 12 through 26 is looking back over God's word to them, worship and obedience, or civil officials, offering, cities of refuge, wages of war, miscellaneous laws. Chapter 31 through 34 is, you know what, it can just be titled, Moses is headed home. Moses encourages Joshua. Moses warns Israel. Moses blesses the tribes. And then Moses goes home. Now, here's a few words we need to know about the book, what one word means, and a few times other words are mentioned through the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in the Greek, two words, deutero, which means two, and then nomion, which means law. You put these together, you get what? Second law, okay, right? But in the Hebrew, it's deberum, which means words. And here's a few key words mentioned throughout this book. Land is mentioned 190 times. Here is mentioned 54 times. Possession and possesses is mentioned 57 times. Heart is mentioned 53 times. And listen to this. Love is going to be mentioned 25 times. Okay? When we put this all together, the words, just a couple of words will come into limelight. And it's love and obey. Deuteronomy is going to teach us obedience is man's response to God's love. We think of obedience sometimes as such a bummer type word. And I got to ask you a question. When the Lord pours out His heart and His... Can we not help but want to be obedient? The psalmist says what? I delight to do Your will, O Lord. The Lord is setting these guys up for this incredible blessing. But remember, they are going to only inherit the land by being obedient to what God tells them to do. That's it. Matter of fact, when you get over to Joshua, and you get over to Joshua chapter 7, what happens when they attack that poor little podunk town of Ai? They get their rear stomped because someone decided to just take things into their own hands, literally, and take some things they didn't need to take. And you know what? It wouldn't have mattered if Joshua and Caleb said, okay, let's go take this thing, and they threw every resource they had at that little podunk town, it would have been the same result. They would have got their rear stomped like they did. It wasn't until their hearts got right with the Lord that they were able to go take that. Love and obedience go together. And since we've experienced so much of God's love, we can't help but we want to obey. Jesus said this, matter of fact, in John 14:15, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And we know that the Lord's commandments are not a burden. We do. We think sometimes. You know why we think His commandments are a burden sometimes? Because we do not want to humble ourselves. That's why. That's the only reason. I mean, we're all about, oh yeah, I want to go do this when it's exciting. But we're not so excited about it. You know, I'm going to confess something to you. I grew up in a home where I had one parent who never apologized for anything. Nothing. Never apologized. Would never own anything. You confront them on it, and then it would be because you did this. Okay, so you're okay with the way you react, and you think that's okay? The Lord has burdened me to make sure I apologize to my kids when I react in a way that does not honor Him. Because all of us have kids, know that none of us here are perfect, and we've all blown it, right? But there's one thing I want my son and my daughter to understand, that when they become an adult, that they'll know that their dad apologized to them when he blew it. And the Lord's worked that in my heart. Now, what's it like to go apologize to a three-year-old? I mean, seriously, come on. It's kind of humbling, isn't it? You know, he's sitting there sucking on his little fingers. And you're going, you know what, your daddy reacted wrong. He was a little wrong. He was a little harsh in what he said. Would you please forgive him? That's okay, Daddy. You know? We're all up for doing God's will, but when it comes to apologizing to a three-year-old sometimes, we think that may be beneath us. Remember, this is the second time the law has been mentioned. This is the second time that we're going to go over this thing. And you're like, yeah, I know that. We've already been over that. We have looked intently at the people of Israel in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Numbers. And now we're going to go through this whole mess a second time? That's what you're thinking. Couldn't we have skipped this book and maybe come back to it a year later? Maybe we could have went to Revelation and just did that thing and then come back to this when it's not fresh on our mind? Couldn't we have done that? No. Alright, you're thinking, I'm glad you really didn't go through chapter 1 because we've heard all this stuff again. I mean, are you going to milk this cow one more time? Deuteronomy means words, and we're thinking, yeah, we've heard all these words. So why go back through Deuteronomy? Why go through Deuteronomy? Well, first of all, it's God's Word. That's one good reason right there. All right? But here's three more. Did you know Deuteronomy is quoted over 80 times in the New Testament? That puts this small book in a group of a couple of other books that's quoted in the New Testament that many times. Genesis, the Psalms, and Isaiah. Number two, every sabbatical year at the Feast of Tabernacles, this was the book that the Lord commanded to be read to the people of Israel. And then finally, number three, this ought to be just good enough for everybody. Jesus used the words from this book to battle Satan. You remember when he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days, and then at the tail end of this thing, Satan came to him and tempted him. And tempted him to take things, really, if you think about it, into his own hands and not go according to the way the Lord wanted to do. And this is what Jesus did. He quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know or your fathers did. This is what Jesus said, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him. Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths and take no oaths to his name. Here's my point. Let's resolve before we dive into this book to not let our hearts just kind of glaze over and say, well, I've heard all this before. We've been through this before. Matter of fact, we spent 3 years looking at this stuff. This book was quoted over 80 times in the New Testament. Think about that. The Lord said, hey, this is what I want you to read to the people of Israel every sabbatical year. And Jesus himself used the words from this book to battle Satan and shut him down. Okay, so let's draw near to this thing. Let's not just go through the motions here. Let's not approach it as we've heard it all and we've seen it all. And I found, you know what, if that's our heart in the very beginning, then guess what? We won't learn anything at all. You know what will happen? If we have that type of attitude, not only will we miss out, but the fellowship itself will miss out. Okay? Think about that for a minute. Isaiah 28, verse 9 through 10 says this, whom will he teach and whom will he make known to you to understand the message? Just as weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast, For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. The Lord just keeps going over the same stuff. Do you realize there's really nothing new? Okay, if it's new, it's probably not true, J. Vernon McGee said. Peter said this through the Holy Spirit, or penned these words via the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter 1:12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. We need to be reminded time and time again of how much the Lord loves us. And is that not what is supposed to happen when we study the Bible? If our heads just get bigger and our hearts don't swell, we've missed the point of why the Lord would pen these words and give these to us. I mean, it's His love letter to us. Love is mentioned over 25 times in this book. It's a good book to go through. Now, I'm not trying to sell you on it, but these are things that the Lord was telling me as I was thinking, man, we're going to go through this again. Lord, couldn't we just maybe jump over and look at Revelation? I mean, that would really kind of be, I mean, Lord, you know what's going on out there. That would be good. He says, no, I want you to understand something. I want you to finish this book. I want you to look at it again. I want you to look at it through the eyes of Moses. Okay, this is Moses' swan song. Okay, when we look at these discourses he's given to the people of Israel, we cannot help but see Moses' love for these people and his love for the Lord. Okay, he's passionately preaching to these folks. He's passionately preaching to the second generation that's going into the promised land. So it's worth it. Martin Luther said this, I study my Bible as I gather apples. First I shake the whole tree that the ripest might fall. Then I shake each limb. And then I have shaken each limb. I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search the Bible as a whole, like shaking the whole tree. Then I shake every limb and study book after book. Then I shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters when they do not break the sense. Then I shake every twig, or careful study of the paragraphs and sentences and the words and their meanings. Psalm 119, verse 11 through 16 says, Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed you are, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's have a Martin Luther approach to God's word. Now to answer the question, why is the outline of this book not so text-sounding, but more of a heart-sounding? Here's why. Because of the guy who the Lord used to pen the book is Moses. Deuteronomy is the last book in which he penned. What are the first five books of the Bible called? Thank you. Okay, very good. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Though most scholars believe the last chapter Moses did not pen because he went and died, and Joshua may have finished it, so it might have been attached to Joshua. We're not going to worry about that. That's no big deal. All right? Remember where the book of Numbers left off. 36:13. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. This is the second generation that's on the brink of going in the promised land. But for Moses, he's going home. He's not going into the promised land. So see, that adds a whole new dimension to when we start looking at this book, like I just stated before. God's doing an incredible work in Moses' heart in these discourses. But put yourself in Moses' shoe. You know this is the end of the line. How many of us would like to know it's the end of the line? I mean, we're all terminal. We're all terminal. But, you know, what if? What if you finally got to that destination and you knew this is as far as you're going? You know? And you think about this. Think about this. Moses has been whacking away at this thing for 40 years. Okay, you remember what you were like on the last day of school? You remember what that was like? Did teachers get you to do any work? What about if you retired? What were you like on the last? Did you mail it in on the last day that maybe you retired if you worked for some company forever? Joan didn't. She didn't. I mean, think about this for a moment. He knows he's going home. Okay, guys, I brought you right here to the brink. I'm done. Sayonara. Lego te veo. See you later. That's not Moses. The Lord told him that he would not lead the people into the land because of what happened back in Numbers 20 at the era of Kadesh. And you guys remember that. He was supposed to bring out water. He's just supposed to speak to the rock. Whack, 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 you rebels, you stinkers, you bummers. Here's your water. And the Lord said, guess what? You dishonor me in front of the people. You're not going to the promised land. End of story. All right. We know that. We remember that. See, this is the reason for the heart type of outline for this book, is because this is Moses' swan song. These are the last words to a group of folks who were very hard to love when you think about it. Moses' heart for the Lord and for these folks should come glaringly through as we walk through this book. Moses looks back at where he has been. Moses looks at the now and shares his concern for these folks. Moses looks ahead for these folks. And Moses looks up in the end. Here's the point. Moses finished strong. Moses was faithful to the very end. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Deuteronomy 34, 9 through 12. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of spirit and wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. Okay? So the children of Israel heeded him as they did the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then there's not risen an Israel prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and wonders which the Lord had sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all of his servants and all the land. By that his mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel, Moses finished strong. And I pray that every one of us in here would have a desire to finish strong and not mail it in. Not mail it in. And here's a thought. Think about all Moses had to endure with these guys. Only in the end, not to be able to enter into the land. And he wanted to go into that land. Because in Deuteronomy 3, verse 23 through 26, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord, you've begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do anything like your works or your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan and those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account, and he would not listen to me. So the Lord said, enough of that. Speak to me no more about the matter. He wanted to go into the land. But let me ask you a question. If you were Moses, and you we've looked at his life, the dude, from the very beginning, his life just had a miraculous touch, did it not? He was saved. He was put in the palace. I mean, he had a great name there. And then you know the rest of the story. He took things into his own hands. He served on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And then the Lord appears to him in this bush. And you know the rest of the story. He goes. He has this incredible life. Not only that, he's walked with these guys for 40 years through all their mess. And you want to go in there. You want to go in there. And the Lord says, enough of that. Stop. Who in this room would get bitter? Okay, think about that. Think about that. How did he not become bitter? You can always tell when folks are bitter because it creeps out. It creeps out very easily. You know, it usually creeps out in the hate fest. Always hating on everything. Hate, 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 hate fest. Moses didn't hate on anyone or anything. He never got bitter. How did he not get bitter? Only one thing I could come up with is he did not keep a list on folks. He forgave folks. You know, keep a list. Checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty or nice. You know, it's really kind of a bad thing that you pass on to your kids, you know. I mean, you know, my parents told me that Santa Claus existed, and I believed it until, I don't know, I was in the fourth grade, and I saw my sister's little Barbie makeup head doll thing in their closet, and I knew it was a big lie. But I did get saved, okay? Santa Claus was not my undoing. I got saved. But I'm going to make a list and check it twice. I'm going to find out who's been naughty or nice. I mean, think of Moses, what kind of list he could have had. Think about that for a moment. He forgave. He moved on with the Lord. The book of Hebrews tells us this about bitterness. Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Bitterness stinks. C.S. Lewis once said this, real forgiveness means looking at steadily at the sin that is left over without any excuse, after all the allowances have been made, and seeing it in all its horror, dirt, meanness, and malice, and nevertheless being wholly reconciled to the man who had done it. Our Lord Jesus said this, and you remember Peter, he had this great idea, how many times I need to forgive my brother, and then, you know, Jesus tells the whole story, you know, about the guy that owned this unsurmountable amount of debt, you know, like $1 million, he couldn't pay it, it looked like he's about to get himself thrown in prison, his family's going to be thrown in prison, he begs, he pleads, the guy gives him a little freedom on the whole deal, he goes and finds somebody that owes him a nickel, chokes the dude down, then wants him to go to prison, and then the guy finds out, and this is what Jesus said. Then his master, if he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. When we choose not to forgive, we're the ones stuck in the canary cage. Until we do forgive, you know what we're going to pay. Now, this whole forgiveness thing, I know, is a difficult thing because there are some real hurts, and some hurts are very hard to forgive. And I found that a lot of times it's a process, and the Lord allows us to go through the process. But let's don't ignore it. Let's don't ignore it. We want to finish strong. You know, some folks, as they get older, they get incredibly sweeter, especially Christians. But some folks get older and they get just increasingly more bitter. And we've all seen that. And you know what? We don't want to be like that. We want to be like Moses. If we want to finish strong, we need to throw the list away we have on folks. Matter of fact, ask ourselves, does Jesus keep a list on us? Colossians 3, verse 12 through 13 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. You know, that one thought blew me away. I'm thinking of everything this dude had to endure. And it was not a cakewalk. And then to get to the end of the thing and not be allowed to go in. Man, I think I would have been upset. But you know what? What did he do? The Lord said, hey, climb up this mountain. You're going to come home. Now really, think about this just for a moment. He allowed him to see the promised land, as we're going to read. And it was indeed a beautiful place at that time until they jacked up all the land, as it is now. All right? But, promised land or going home to be with the Lord? That's not really that bad of a trade-off. Now let's ask ourselves the same question. Forgiving, moving on, and going on further with the Lord. Is that a bad trade-off? No, it's not. No, it's not. We don't want to be stuck in a canary cage. Trust me, I grew up in a family that, man, I'm talking straight up Hatfields and McCoy. Okay? I'm not playing with you people. And the Lord's grown me out of it. And if He can grow me out of it, I believe He can grow anyone out of it. Finally, one sobering thought from chapter 1 found in verse 2. All right? Just verse 2. It's 11-day journey from Horeb by Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days! 11 days is all it would have took! 40 years! Is that not scary? Think about that. 11 days. You know, I had a wonderful thought after I went through a broken engagement. I'm sitting there in my trailer, feeling like a big loser, you know, sitting on my own nasty couch. And the Lord spoke so clearly to me. He goes, "You're right back where you started, aren't you?" I go, "Yeah." "Wasn't a shortcut, was it?" "No." "You're right back exactly where you started a year and a half ago." "Yeah." 11 days. 40 years. There's no shortcuts. I take that back. There is one shortcut. It's being obedient to what the Lord tells us to do. That is a shortcut. Being disobedient, we might turn into a 40-year road trip going in circles. See, there was a committee one time, and they were wanting to bring D.L. Moody in. All right? And this young pastor stands up. "Why bring D.L. Moody in? What, does he have the monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And everybody got real quiet. Then this old pastor stood up and he goes, "No, the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him. That's why we're bringing him in." In other words, he was willing to do what God asked him to do. He was willing to be obedient. Now you remember, as we went through the book of Corinthians, and this has been brought up over and over and over and over again, Paul's constantly reaching back and he's using this as an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11, he starts using all these things that happened with the people of Israel. And then he says, guess what? They were written for you Christians as an example of what can happen. And then he says this, and it's very important to remember this as well. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our I can never get that. And then the ends of the ages have come." And then he goes, "Therefore take heed, lest you stand or what? You might fall." They're examples. So what can we take from this introduction besides being bored? Just one thing. Just this one thing. And that's why we took so much time with this introduction and just doing this tonight. Because for me personally, as I started reading through and reading through and reading through, I was like, oh my goodness, we're reviewing this thing. Lord, where do you want to grab our hearts with before we even dive in this book? He says, I want you to just take a look at Moses and you look at his heart and what he is open to at the tail end of his road trip. He's making a passionate series of discourses to a group of people. Because he loves me and he loves those folks. He wants them to understand where they came from. He wants them to understand it could have been an 11-day trip, but it turned into 40 years. He wants them to understand the present difficulties that are going to be at hand. He wants them to understand the future that God has for them. He has a heart for the Lord. It's not about his little bitty thing. So what can we take home? Always have an open heart to the things we've heard from God before. And our hearts will stay open to God's Word like never before. Okay, I want to repeat that again because you know what? That had to be from the Lord. Seriously, I didn't pick that out of a book, by the way. And I'm really not even a poet, but it was from the Lord. Always have an open heart to things we've heard from God before. And our hearts will stay open to God's Word like never before. Psalm 119, verse 129 through 131. "Your testimonies are absolutely," and I added absolutely, "wonderful." Okay? "Therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments." Let's don't mail this book in. Let's dive in and see what the Lord would have for us. and see what the Lord would have for us. And see what the Lord would have for us. And see what the Lord would have for us.